Morning. Great to gather together with you this morning. Just a joy, a privilege, count it a privilege to travel with you and to see what God would have for us as we come to His Word. You may notice that I'm still fighting something. My voice isn't, well, it's not as bad as it was last Sunday, so it's getting better. But again, I just encourage you to hang in there and not let my voice get in the way of you hearing from God. And we will be greeting you at the door today, but as last week was the case, touch at your own risk. But at least we can verbally wish each other a great new year and all. Well, we're pressing on through our study in the book of 2 Samuel. We're going through the life of David. We're in chapter 3, so let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 3 as we come to see what God would have for us in this time. The ushers want to make sure you have a Bible. Just raise your hand if you need one, and you will need one if you haven't brought one. We'd like you to see that it's God's Word and not just our opinion. But for all of us now, let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 3. As you're turning there, I just would like to remind you that what we're about to enter into is a sort of partnership. What I mean is this. I have the privilege of setting before you God's Word. It comes from Him, puts it on my heart, I share it with you. But as Jesus said, the seed will bear fruit depending on what kind of soil it lands upon. And so I would encourage you this morning, as always, come hungry. Come eager to hear. And that's the only requirement. What is soil that receives? It's soil that's open. Soil that's hungry to hear. It's much like when you go to eat. I'm just kind of like the waiter. The chef prepares it. I bring it in and set it before you. It's up to you to partake. But it is a partnership. We're here together to see what God would have for us. Are you ready? You're ready. Good. I'll hold you to that. I know that Christmas is in the rearview mirror. But thank God the truth of Christmas is true every day. And that's awesome. And we're starting a new year. And man turns a calendar, makes it a new year. Thank God that He makes us new creations. And so we're here to celebrate that. And we're here to explore that and go deeper. Because the reason there is a Christmas, the reason there's an Easter and all, is to save us. Why? To put us on the shelf? No, that we might know Him. He wants us to know and grow in this relationship with Him. And that's what this morning's aimed at. And it's from Him. Let's receive it as such. Well, as I said, we're in 2 Samuel chapter 3. Let's begin by looking at verse 1. Now, there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. Okay, we need to kind of get some background here. This is going to help set the table for our focus verses this morning. As we come to the third chapter of 2 Samuel, there is a civil war going on in Israel. David, the one who God has called to be king, has now been anointed to rule over a part, just a part, but a part of Israel, namely the tribe of Judah. The rest of the nation at this point is being ruled over by Saul's son Ishbosheth. See, 1 Samuel ended with the death of Saul and his three sons, including Jonathan, David's good friend. They got killed in battle. Well, chapter 1 of 2 Samuel, just continues, story continues. In the first chapter of 2 Samuel, David learns of Saul, in particular of Jonathan's death, and he grieves, he mourns over that. He doesn't say, oh boy, he doesn't exalt, oh boy, I finally get the throne. No, but rather that heart, that has a heart after God's heart, mourned for what Saul and Jonathan and them had experienced, this defeat that they'd experienced and all. Then in chapter 2, David says, okay, Lord, I want to move forward in what you have for me. But he doesn't just rush off and do it. He learns some important lessons about seeking the Lord. So chapter 2, he says, Lord, what would you have me do? You want me to go up now into Israel? The Lord says, go. Where do you want me to go? Up into Hebron. Hebron was one of the main cities there in the tribe of Judah. So David goes up to Hebron in the tribe of Judah, and that tribe makes him king. But meanwhile, though Saul is gone, his commander of his army, Abner, takes another one of Saul's sons, Ishbosheth is his name, and installs him as king over the other tribes. Really, he's kind of a puppet king. Abner's trying to just prop up Saul's crumbling kingdom and all, and he wants to be in control, and so he has Ishbosheth be the king of the other tribes. So here in verse 1, we arrive at that point where it tells us about that there's a war going on. There's a war going on between the forces of the house of Saul, if you will, and the house of David. Civil wars, of course, can be very interesting and yet very horrible things. Our country, back in the years between 1861 and 1865, went through what has been called the watershed event of our history, namely the American Civil War. It's a time when over 600,000 perished in battle. And by the way, that's more than has ever died in any other U.S. war before or since. And that was significant when you think of how much lesser the population was in general. So a significant percentage of the population perished, and a lot of people went through some rough stuff. And it wasn't that these were people that were foreign to each other either in our Civil War. One thing that makes it so interesting, so intriguing, is the fact that it was brother against son often. Father against son and brother against brother in our Civil War. Namely, they were people in the same country and yet at war with one another. And as it was then, so it is here in this story of Israel. Of the same nation, but they're fighting one another. There's a civil war going on. But see, out of our nation's civil war, some issues that had to be settled got settled. May some issues get settled here this morning. Because see, this morning, just as it was for our country back in the 1860s, and as it was for Israel here in 2 Samuel 3, so it is for a number of us right here this morning. What I mean is this. For some, perhaps many, there's a great civil war taking place in their very life. Within that very person, there are competing forces. War is raging. And unfortunately, it's taking quite a toll on many a person. And the thing is, you know it, and God knows it. This struggle, this battle. We'll talk more about it in just a moment. So though there may be no sounds of gunshots and swords clashing, we can know this. Just as sure as Gettysburg, for example, was a battleground, your heart, your mind, your soul may very well be a battlefield right now. With that in mind, let's look at our focus verses. Abner separates from Ishbosheth. He goes and joins David. And we read, starting in verse 17, these words. Now Abner had communicated with the elders of Israel, saying, "In time past, you were seeking for David to be king over you. Now then, do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, 'By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and the hand of all their enemies.'" How very rich and how challenging the portion of Scripture is that we've come to this morning. There's a battle. Abner calls out to the people. You wanted David. You know you need David to be ruler over you. Now then, do it. And that's the title of our time this morning. I've called our time together. Now then, do it. Let's pray. Father, now that you have set the table, so to speak, before us, because you love us so much, and yet because you see the war that's raging within so many of us, this battle between you and those things that aren't of you, this battle between the spirit and the flesh, you and ourself, all this battle, Lord, we pray this morning we'd see the war ended. There'd be that surrender that needs to take place, that you might be all in all. Lord, too many of us would have to confess there is that battle raging. And there's been turmoil instead of peace. There's been stress instead of joy. There's not that sense of you working in the way you'd want to work. Lord, let this time be a time where you speak to our hearts and settle the issue. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Consider now this morning the war that's raging in so many lives. And I'm referring to, of course, those where the war is raging in a spiritual sense. Just like Israel had a battle going on, many a Christian's life is a battleground. You see, a part of Israel submitted to David's rule. An example here is of those who have indeed received Jesus as Savior. They've invited Jesus into their lives. And so you can sit here and that person would say, I've crowned him king of part of me. For truth is, that's the case. Lord, I've made you king of part of me. We would have to confess. There are those people where he doesn't have all the territory. There remains that part, just like there is in our text. There was that part of Israel that was still being ruled by the old king. And they were the worst for it. And for some people this morning, there's a part of our lives that's still being ruled by our old king. And we're the worst for it. We don't win. So yes, the person I'm speaking of is someone who, they have salvation. This isn't a salvation issue. Jesus is Savior. He took you up on it. He came in. So I'm speaking to that person. But the point is, there's still a whole lot of territory in that person's life that is governed by the old life. They're living by the old ways still, the old methods. We would call it self. The flesh is in the driver's seat when it comes to those areas of their life. Chapter 3, verse 1, we began with, tells us, it says, there was a long war between these two sides, the house of Saul and the house of David. Don't answer out loud, but I wonder, how long has the war been going on in you? How long has flesh beaten you up and the enemy had his way? And the old ways have failed you over and over again, but you keep going back to it. There still be that struggle of temptation and lust and pride and all those things. How long? How long will the battle go on? The ball's in our court. Now, this is a battle that every believer can relate to. I'm certainly not standing up here as some kind of a arrived person. We're all in a construction. But there's issues of, but who are we yielding to? Are we yielding to the one who is doing that work? And who really are we submitting to, surrendering those things to him that he might change that in us? But every believer experiences the battle between the spirit and the flesh, the self. Paul spoke of this battle. Turn, if you leave your bulletin or your Bible ribbon there, but go over to the New Testament, to the book of Romans for a moment. Go to Romans chapter 7 with me. So you have the four Gospels, then there's the book of Acts, and then you come to Romans. Go to Romans chapter 7 for a moment. Romans 7, we're going to jump in about verse 15. Romans 7, 15. Let's see if anybody here can relate to what Paul talks about, what he went through. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. He's just saying there's a competing forces inside of me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. I would ask how many, if I've hit anybody, if this has hit anybody here yet, but we won't get too personal about this, but I suspect if I said, anybody relate to that, some hands might go up. I know what I want to do, I should do, in my heart I want to do it, but I don't. The things I know that won't do me any good, that God wouldn't have, I wind up doing them. And he's just saying that same battle that so many struggle with. There's these competing things going on inside of me. Verse 20, now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. He's just saying there's these competing forces. That as long as we're in this body, we have this battle going on. I find then a law, he says, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, that's his body, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And then the cry, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? He's just pointing out what we're saying. We are a battleground. Opposing forces competing for us. And who we yield to, who we surrender to, really will determine the outcome. The outcome in terms of peace and joy and purpose and all those things he would want to work in our lives. In Galatians 7, this same Paul, let me put it up here real quick. In Galatians 5:17, Paul put it this way, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." Again, I'm so tempted to say anybody relate, but we won't do that to you. But we see it's just, he's putting it right out there. You're not weird if you sit there and say, "Man, has Pastor been following me around all week or what? How does he know I war like this? What's the battle?" Because Paul's saying, we are a battleground, but we don't have to stay in that place. We're going to see that in a moment. Thank God these verses don't stop here. But the point right now is we have to confess and admit it. Lord, there's a battle and I need help outside of myself to get this victory. There is a war raging in every believer. The war of the Spirit versus the flesh. When the flesh, when the self is in the driver's seat, what might be some of these unyielded territories in our lives? We said there's all these unyielded tribes at this point in Israel. They're at war against who God has called to reign. Because of that, there's turmoil and strife in the country. What might be some unyielded territory in our lives that might show us that it's not yielded, that there are? Well, we'll think about it. They're pretty easy. Things like how we conduct our business affairs. Yes, we receive Jesus as Savior, but I don't dare conduct my business like he would have me. Come on, I won't get the business. I can't tell the truth to my customers. The guy down the street's lying. He'll get the job. I've got to kind of do this and say that. Got to cut a corner here. That's an unyielded territory that shows God's not reigning in that part of your life. What's some other unyielded territories? There's how we handle our relationships. Be it the marital relationship, family relationships, friendships. Yeah, he's my Savior, but if I go out and conduct my relationships with Kathy or others in a way that's not of him, that's an unyielded area. And that shows there's civil war going on. And it will never get me where I really want to go. What's some other possible unyielded territories that you might relate to? There's how we spend our time. There's how we spend our money. That's how we spend our energy. They would all show us, yep, there's a battle going on. There's our thoughts, our actions. There's our tongue. So think about it. Is the house of Saul, meaning the old king, the old way of doing things, is the house of Saul still in control in any of those areas in your life? This morning he wants you to surrender it. He's going to help us see that in the Lord's economy, you win by surrendering. And that's what the call will be to this morning. For see, I have a question. Aren't you tired of the battle? Have you learned the futility of trying to still do it the old way? Thinking somehow that you're... See, self thinks it knows best. It really does believe that it knows the way to get you where to go. Oh, I know. But it doesn't. The flesh, the self, make really poor drivers. And they'll end you up in the ditch every time. But they sure die hard, don't they? See, many people really don't believe that there's any harm in having territory that's God's and territory that's ours in our lives. Many people believe that's really a cool thing to do. I got salvation in the future. Meanwhile, I'm in the driver's seat. Not understanding that we're the worst for it, not the better. But some of us still think that, no, I'm the better for it. Oh, down deep you might say, yeah, I can see where it might be good to let Jesus have all of me. But really, the truth is you still think, no, I've got some things I need to accomplish and I know how to get there. I do know the best way for me. And so people can think things like, well, let me get my life really straightened up first. Then I'll surrender all. Let me get my bank account built up enough. Let me get my retirement account set in place. Let me get my career established first. Let me find a mate first. Then I'll surrender all to you, Lord. But I got to do this. I got to do that. Because this is how I think it has to be. Then I'll surrender all. But they are the worst for not surrendering to the king that God has appointed. And so are we. When we hold back territory that we should yield to God. May the Lord open our eyes to the fallacy of thinking that it'll be easier once we set things up the way we think it should be. Turn back to that 2 Samuel passage now, if you would. In the story before us here in 2 Samuel 3, as I mentioned, by this point, Abner, the commander of Saul's army, he's put Ishbosheth in over the other tribes, but Abner has a falling out, if you will, with Ishbosheth. And he decides to go ahead and join with David. And that's what brings us to verse 17 and 18. Now let's look at them again. Now Abner had communicated with the elders of Israel, saying, "In time past, you were seeking for David to be king over you. Now then, do it, for the Lord has spoken of David, saying, 'By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel.'" Interesting. Abner at this point becomes an example of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit speaks to believers. And let's look what he says here. He begins by saying to these other leaders, the elders of the tribes that haven't submitted yet to David, he says, "In time past, you were seeking for David to be king over you." Interesting. "In time past, you wanted Jesus to be king over all of you." Remember, there was that time when he got a hold and you're excited. He said, "Lord, have it all." But for some of us, you said that, and maybe there was that, but there's been a pulling back. Or there's been an intention, but not a resulting action that resulted in it. There wasn't the walking in it. There wasn't the real commitment to it. You saw it was good. See, you might hear this message today and say, "Good point, I need to do that." But that won't. The leaders of Israel, the rest of the tribe, could get together all day and talk about it. "Yeah, good point, should do that. Let's talk about it someday." And that will do them no good. It won't end the war. Same for us. He says, "In time past, you guys wanted to do this. Now do it. Decide today, end the war. Settle the civil war that's going on between you and God, between your flesh and Him. That self, that pride, the lust. Surrender to win. Die to self that you might live unto Him and experience all you'd have." See, we have all these plans for the future, but the problem is the war is right now. We're living right now in the present. And then Abner says in verse 18 at the beginning, "Now then, do it." This has been called Abner's four-word sermon. Just my privilege to set it before us again this morning. "Now then, do it." What awesome counsel this is to us all. And notice again the basis for his appeal. "Now then, do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, 'By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people.'" Interesting. This shows us that the whole time Abner was with the opposing forces, Abner knew David was the called one. David was the one God was going to use. But when there still was something in it for him, and he was getting along with the old reign, the old king, he put up a fight. Even though he knew, he goes, "But we know David's the called one." Interesting, we put up such a fight, don't we, sometimes with the Lord. And he would say, "Why do you keep doing that? Why do you keep, it's not going to help. It's not going to win. You're not going to really get where you want to go." And Abner confesses that. "We all know David's called. Now join in. Let him have all that territory that you've been holding back." There's only one way that Israel, here in 2 Samuel, there's only one way that Israel can gain the peace and the victory they desire. It will be to yield all to David's kingship. Now that'll occur in a couple chapters. But there's only one way they're going to get there, is to yield to his rule, to his reign, over their territory, over their lives. It was by David's hand that Israel would be delivered. And it's only by Jesus that we'll experience all God has for us. Just as Abner said, so the Lord would say to us, "Now do it, for the Lord has spoken. Here's your path to peace. Here's your path to purpose and meaning and all those things we really hunger for. Hope, life, all those things. Here's the path. So his plea is, listen to God. Listen to the Lord. Listen to God. Same for us. Listen with the intent of doing and acting upon it. It's interesting and significant. Do you notice this call to the tribes, this call to those in the territory not yet submitted? The call didn't come from David. The call came from Abner. He's calling them to submit to David. Though David was the rightful king, David did not make this plea. David would not reign over Israel unless they chose to submit to him. He will not reign over any territory that has not freely submitted to him. David doesn't say, strap on your swords, I'm going to go kill every one of them. I'm going to make them submit. They're going to let me rule over them whether they want to or not. We don't see David do that. And we don't see God do that. Jesus will rule and reign where he's asked to, where he's invited to. He knocks on the door of your heart, but he doesn't bust it down. And you open the door, he comes in, for he promised to. But it's a partnership with him. And this whole empowering, not just salvation, but the empowering, the victory, will continue to be a partnership in that same vein, where you freely submit that thought, that action, that struggle, where you bring under his rule and reign what before now has been under your rule and reign. I feel like God just told me to say that. That was said in a halfway decent way because it was from God. Hear what God would say to you this morning. It's going to be a partnership. But thank God, he'll give you the nudge. He'll give you the love. He'll draw and say, come on. But just as David didn't do anything by force, so did the Lord. The Lord chooses, for the most part, to exercise his sovereignty only at our invitation. And so you have some people, they don't invite Jesus to rule over anything. They're in open rebellion. There are some people, they invite Jesus to reign over a small area. Lord, you can have the Hebron of my life. You can have the area, the tribe of Judah area. Some people say, Lord, be king of that part. I'm reminded of, for you ladies that came to our Christmas tea, by all accounts I've heard, it was really awesome. And the Lord gave Kathy that message about my heart, Christ home. You ladies remember that? Some of you ladies came to that? Good, I got some heads nodding. And of course, I can't give it all that message right now, but you remember. But the basic idea was just that. It showed how our life does have different rooms, different territories. And the Lord would have us yield each room to him. But we're a part in that, huh? And some people say, Lord, stay in the living room. But don't come in my kitchen. Don't come in that closet. And just somehow we're the better for it. Well, it's the same idea here. Lord, you can have this part of my territory. You can have this, the tribe of Judah area, but not all the rest. I wonder if that's somebody here today. That's called civil war, and you are getting beat up by it. You're not the better for saying, Lord, have this territory, and I'll keep this. Let me have that. Some people do indeed give Jesus reign over everything that he has authority over, which is everything. Earlier we read Paul's dilemma in Romans 7. And it concluded with this cry. Remember how he cried out at the end, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? The sad thing is the Bible ends right there. And we don't know. No. Or I could say, well, the sad thing is the next verse says, I have no idea. Hope you make it. No. Who's going to deliver me? And what's he say? You know it. What's he say? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, yeah, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, with the flesh the law of sin. Yeah, there's a battle, but there's victory. How? Pulling up your bootstraps, trying harder. Don't think, don't think, don't think. Is that how it's going to work? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, awesome. It's not my strength, it's his strength in me. But what's this other step? What's something else we might do here? Well, In Galatians we read where it said how the flesh was warring against the spirit. But Paul isn't saying, well, there's the problem, but no answer. But rather he says, here's a problem, but now here's the answer, where he said, I say then, remember he said, flesh wars against spirit, spirit against the flesh. I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I will stay hungry, if I will really heart want him to rule in that territory, if I invite him to do so, and then walk accordingly, really choose that day to day, really abiding, walking in, submitting to, yielding to, bringing that thought captive, whatever it is, the victory. It's not like I've got to muster the strength. Those things open me up to his empowering strength, in which I walk in the spirit, therefore don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The battle can rage. The battle can, it can try, I might say. The flesh can try. Oh, no, let me steer again. Come on, let me be in charge. Nope, learn that one. Nope, going to let the Lord keep having these decisions, these choices, these actions, these words, whatever it is. For that's the answer for us. I'm not standing up here saying be good and try real hard and get some more education. No, it's surrendering. Hang on to your life, you lose it. Lose your life for him, you gain it. And so that's the awesome privilege and calling. And that's what the Lord is setting before us right now. As strange as it is to the natural mind, the victory is in surrender. Complete surrender. Lord, I give this to you. Each step, each thing, I give this to you. Empower me now by your spirit. And the awesome thing, he begins to do that. He'll give you, he'll begin to move into that territory and give you that victory. But there's that awesome interplay. He won't force, but if I will yield and submit, he begins to give us that victory. And that's what we really, really hunger for. Israel is going to be better off once David is in charge of the whole country. Under David's rule, they're going to enter a period of their history when looking back, even today, Israel talk about that period, that it's the apex, if you will, of Israel. Well, is coming up here under David and his whole reign in their history, his reign in their history. It's going to be such a highlight that, but they kick and fight going there, kind of like us. Oh, that we learn the lesson, the awesome privilege of this lesson this morning. Because this is how it is with us in Jesus. To the degree that we yield to him, that I do it God's way, under his power and his leading, then we're gainers. We're not losers for that. The world will say, you're going to lose out. And the flesh says, don't do that. Oh, self says, come on. We're the losers if we don't. We're the gainers if we yield. It's for their good to settle the issue. And so it is for us. In times past, you were seeking, Abner said, for David to be king over you. Now then, do it. In light of what Jesus has done for us on Calvary, in light of the truths of Christmas and Calvary and the empty tomb, the resurrection, his ascension, sitting at the right hand of the Father, in the light of all Jesus has done for us, how can we say to him, have only part? Have only part of me, Lord. But I'd like to take control of the rest. I want to still rule over the rest of me. How can we do that and think that we're going to be gainers? Did Jesus only die for part of me? Then why would I want to say, then Lord, only take part of me? Oh, I must learn. He's got the best for me. What does it say to him when we say, Lord, you can have Judah, but no further? Stay in Hebron here. Just have a little bit of my life. Right now, this very second, the Lord would have you settle the issue. To end the civil war going on within your life. The flesh is beating you up. Self is running up against every pole around. Right now, this very second, there's a battle raging. Even now, the enemy is trying to tell some of you, you don't need to surrender everything. Even now, flesh and self, the enemy would say, you don't want to be a fanatic about this stuff. Come on. You got Jesus enough to be saved. What's the big deal? Come on, let me keep having these other parts. Come on, we're having fun together. It's be okay. See, the enemy's trying to tell you, oh, you'll be weird, you'll be a fanatic, you give him everything. Interesting how hard self fights. Self fights for all it's worth. Self really does believe it knows best, but it doesn't. It's time to do as Abner says. In time past, you wanted this king. Now then, do it. Let him once again stoke those embers back into a flame. Let him remind you of what you found when you first did surrender, but maybe you've drawn back. Maybe you've given up territory. Whatever our status is. See, someday is the sad response of some people. And therefore they're missing out on what God has for them. And their very lives are a battleground. And they're getting thrashed. And they know it. Now is the cry of the Spirit to you. The remedy is in now then, do it. Just give them all the territory. Start there. That very thing that you need to surrender, that thing that you sense even right now, maybe you're going, la, la, la. But your heart knows God's lovingly putting his finger on it saying, come on, I know you're battling that area. Give it to me. Really settle the issue. Let me in every room, in every closet. Let me in all of the territory. You won't be the worse for it. That area that you know you're holding on to. That relationship. God, I know you wouldn't have me in that relationship. But, and you tell him all why it's so good that he doesn't have that territory. Won't work. That area, maybe it's a plan, a desire, a lust that you struggle with. Some particular method in how you live, but it's not from him. It's time to let Jesus be king of all the territory. That's what Abner says before the people. It's time. David's the call one. Let's do it. Let's get with the plan here. And the Lord would say that now. The Lord is the called one. It's time to let him have every part. So this morning, I would ask of you, is there a part in your life that's not under the rule of Jesus? In love, I would say, you are the less for it. You're missing out because of it. But we don't have to stay there. Thank God we don't have to stay there. That there is this making new every day aspect, this new creation, this molding and shaping us to the image of Jesus Christ, goal that God has for us. Our part, yield. Don't give Jesus just some territory. Give him all. See, the old king Saul was corrupt. His kingdom was corrupt. It had rejected following God. Therefore, God couldn't use it. Couldn't work in that. The old king in our life was corrupt. Self, flesh, all it was corrupt. It can't get us into all God would have for us. There was no victory for them under the house of Saul. And there's no victory for us under the house of flesh, under the house of giving into the flesh, all those things, self. There's old ways of doing things. There's no victory in there. Praise God. We can have a new king in every area of our lives. Do you desire that? See, that's the key. You got to want it. You got to hunger for it. You got to be broken of that and say, Lord, I see the futility of it. I see it's not giving me any. Lord, I'm tired of the battle. I'm tired of the civil war inside of me. Today, this morning, Lord, I give you that territory. Now then, do it. Just do it. See, that's God's way of delivering us, giving to him that he can work, therefore he gets the glory. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the call this morning is don't hesitate. Now then, do it. I'm going to invite the worship team up. Worship team's coming up to help us reflect upon what we've heard and to act upon what we've heard. They're going to lead us in a response. How sad if our response was in word only. And what we're about to enter into, let it be from the heart. As we say, Lord, have all of me. And I want to give you an opportunity. Perhaps this morning, If you haven't received Jesus as Savior, you need to start there. Go to the prayer partners. It'll be back here in the far corner of the room. But I'm speaking to believers, and yet you recognize there's a civil war. There's a battle. There's unyielded territory in your life. This morning, I want to give you the opportunity to declare Jesus King in that area that you've been holding back. And if coming forward, I invite you to, so come forward. No one's going to bug you. No one's going to ask you what it is. It's just between you and Him. It's just a period of time in which you took a stand. You came to declare, Lord, you can have that area this morning. And no one knows what it is. It could just be something. It could be in your life, home, business, school, all, you know, whatever. That's between you and Him. But come forward if you need to and say, Lord, have all of me. Have that area. I surrender that to you, that you could work that victory in me. Start this new year with Jesus as King of all of you. Father, towards that end now, we enter this time of responding in worship and praise. And Lord, I pray you'd move across this place, that you'd move within our hearts and lives. If there's something, Lord, that will hold them back. If there's civil war raging in anyone, let this be the day of surrender, that they would be the day of victory. Do as only you can do by the Holy Spirit, and shine light upon these truths, and help us see to give all parts of us to you is the best thing. Lord, you call, may respond. Now then, do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, for that work that you've done this morning, we give you thanks. But as we have sung, so we declare, oh, for grace to trust you more. Help us, Lord, we recognize we're the weak link in this whole thing. But you are awesome and you are holy and able to work if we just let you. Lord, for those who came forward, or for those maybe reigned in their seat, but they were transacting business with you, so to speak. They were signing the armistice. They were signing the surrender. Today was that day. Just like the Civil War ended, Lord, today a Civil War has ended for so many. Thank you for that. That's to your glory. That's from your work. Now, Lord, I know that as territory is surrendered, you move in. And you touch and you heal and you make strong and you make new. Thank you for that. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love, for your mercy. Well, we'll spend an eternity declaring it. Let this time be part of it. Thank you for the work that you have begun and done this morning. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for those times when we try to grab back the steering wheel, so to speak. Lord, forgive us when we think we know better. Thank you for teaching us. Surrender to you is the best thing because you love us so very much. Got the best plan for us. Our cry, Lord, have your way. I mean, you get the glory for it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you head out, new week, new year. My privilege just to proclaim, may the Lord bless you and guide you and minister to you in an awesome way. As you let Him rule and reign in every part of your life. In the new year and every day. To His glory. Amen.